irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, it is Mainstream Metaphysics. It is Christmas Eve. My goodness. Ah, the sound of Andy Williams in the background. It is a wonderful time of the year. And I hope everybody enjoys the holiday, the whole holiday season, you know, as much as I do. I'm such a little kid. And by the way, I am Nick Newmont. This is Mainstream Metaphysics, and I'm gleeful. That's why I seem a little disheveled here, because I'm having a good time, and I'm expecting Santa Claus to come. But in the meantime, Sheena Metal has come.
Sheena Claus is here.
That's right. And I'm St. Nick.
Who else would come be your guest on Christmas Eve but me?
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. It's my pleasure to be here.
This is as a kid growing up, there was always this mystique, you know, about the concept of Santa Claus, and it's still to this day played out very well, even with the commercialism and so to speak. But I just, like when I was a little kid, I get very excited about the holidays. And I know everybody is not always excited about the holidays, but I have a good time with it, and it's not all about the gifts and all that. Is, you know, getting together with people and enjoying people.
Sure.
Getting together with people that enjoy getting together with people, of course. But the idea is to have fun and enjoy and whatever that looks like. And people celebrate their holidays in different ways. It means different things to different people.
Sure.
You know, when we go back into, you know, in this country's history, significant wartime, there were truces that were held, you know, they call a timeout,
yep,
so to speak,
mm-hmm,
you know, and have a holiday truce, which there's a, you and I've never talked about that. That's a bit of irony. So if they can have a temporary truce, there couldn't be a permanent truce.
I know. but even at the holidays, the grinchiest of person can sometimes, you know, get a break.
Mm-hmm.
Even Bob Cratchit got Christmas Day off.
Right.
The whole day was, you know, not without protest, but still. I think that, it doesn't surprise me at all that there were truces called on Christmas.
Which is, you know, it's a
magical time.
It is. It really is. And, well, first of all, let's talk about the when it falls. I mean, you know, as an astrologer myself, I've always looked at December 25th, which is in the sign of Capricorn, as sort of puzzling that this person, Jesus, was born, that was so spiritual and so heavenly. And it doesn't make sense in what I know of almost 30 years of astrology that individual would be a Capricorn.
Mm. Yeah.
Because Capricorn is very earthy and very materialistic. And when you look at, people have complained for decades that Christmas is not as spiritual.
Mm.
It's too materialistic. Well, it's in Capricorn. It's not in Sagittarius. Sagittarius is more of a spiritual sign in philosophy and rationale. Capricorn is bottom line.
Yeah.
A Capricornian energy is what's in it for me.
Right. But if Jesus was really a Capricorn, wouldn't he have just married Mary Magdalene and never left the house? Because all the Capricorns I know just want to settle down and never leave their house.
Right.
So, I mean, but we also know from the History Channel, and I had a friend whose mother was very, very religious, and she used to always say, why does the History Channel hate Jesus? Because the History Channel would bring up things about the historical life of Jesus that perhaps did not fit what was in the Bible. Like that if you track the North Star, then it seems like Jesus was born on April 15th, because where the star was supposed to be in the sky, that's where it would have been in the sky, which would make Jesus not only an Aries, but, you know, born on tax day, which he wasn't a fan of the taxes. So There's some irony. But mm-hmm. But I can see Jesus more as an Aries, being an Aries, kind of like a tormented leader who always had to be in service and wasn't always so sure he was thrilled about that, who led a life of more service than having a personal life, so to speak.
Right, right, exactly. And we also don't know in the movement, excuse me, in the movement of the constellations. And this is where Vedic astrology comes into play.
Sure.
That if we look at things differently, that if we look at April 15th now compared to 2,000 years ago,
sure,
it could be a Pisces.
Right. Then Jesus would have been a Pisces. Yeah.
Right. And so that gets very convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to ponder, you know, looking at, you know, this holiday and the source of it and how the stories are told of, you know, Mary and Joseph and no room at the inn and all that, and a certain level of, the way the story is told, cold-heartedness.
Mm.
You know, there was no room, they weren't going to take them in, and how all that played out according to what we're told.
Right.
You know, when we look at stories that are relayed to us that go back about 2,000 years ago, we have to take everything with, well, it's a good story, and we'll remember it as a good story, but we all know that if you tell a joke to someone and it goes around to 13 different people, the joke doesn't come back,
sure,
you know, the same way. So it's a good story, and, you know, it's told over and over again. But the idea is that not this time of year, not to be cold-hearted, not to be warm, to help people, to take care of people. That's what it is. It is about service and giving. It's nice to receive. It's always good to
sure.
receive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's we want to remember, and it's how we teach our kids, give mm-hmm. from the heart. Sheena, holiday memories. Would you have good, fun holiday memories?
Yeah. My mama had kind of a tough childhood. Her mother died between Christmas and New Year's when she was 5.
Mm.
So holidays were rough for her. Then she was in an orphanage for, you know, almost 7 years, and then adopted by my grandparents in upstate New York, people I knew as my grandparents, who had a lot of money but didn't really do Christmas. Like, decorated the house to the nines and had the big party, but she used to always laugh that they had millions of dollars, but every year everybody either got socks or a pen. That and you got one or the other. You never got socks and a pen. So it was not a... So my mom decided when I was born that she was going to make my Christmases everything she had wanted Christmas to be. So my Christmases were... She cooked enough for 50 people, mm-hmm. even though there were 3 of us, presents to the ceiling. Friends would come over and spend Christmas, or my partners would come over and spend Christmas, and couldn't believe how many presents there were, because she would literally fill the house with dogs had a stocking. Like, everybody got something. And then Christmas movies, and she loved to go to, like, when we moved out here when I was 13 and to Southern California, and she loved to go to Disneyland at Christmas time and Knott's Berry Farm at Christmas. She just loved driving around at night looking for Christmas lights. I mean, we did that till she died. I'd pack her in the car and we'd drive around and look for Christmas lights. She loved big, crazy Christmas light displays. Up here in the Valley, when I moved up in the Valley after college here, she loved going to Candy Cane Lane.
Oh, yeah.
She loved making homemade hot chocolate and mulled cider. And, you know, my favorite right. book is A Christmas Carol. So we would watch every version of that twice. And she never said, you know what, we've seen this a million times. She would just watch every version with me, from Patrick Stewart to Muppets and everything in between. So,
well, I know people that just love the sappy Christmas movies on the Hallmark Channel.
Sure. I'd love those. Yeah. I cannot watch them since Mom died. But we would watch marathons of them, and she would watch them all day long. And all the while we had Christmas, that was running. And Christmas always had to be something special. So Christmas Eve night had to be the big dinner. Mm. And then Christmas morning was presents it was always croissants and Danish and homemade hot chocolate. And then Christmas Day night was always appetizers. Like, every appetizer you can imagine, she would get everything she could find in the grocery store and stick it on a cookie sheet. So everything had to be an event. And because that's what she didn't have, and that's how special she was. So it's a little more scaled down since she passed. I'm working up to it. to getting back into the spirit again. Because I think of it, I think of her.
Right, exactly. And when people have gone through some unfortunate event or loss,
sure,
you know, around December or so, it really does have an effect on them for a while until they work through it or, you know, get therapy on it, mm-hmm. you know, and find a way to put that behind them. Because, you know, at the holidays, it's such a high and a bit of an imposed high, too, mm-hmm. given, you know, all the stuff that goes on and shopping and commercialism, of course, and parties.
Yeah.
And there is a, you know, there is an expectation that everyone is going to have fun. And there's, unfortunately, times that people go through something, as you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I had something that happened to me many years ago that sort of railroaded me for a bit. But you work through it and you get it back.
Yeah.
It's funny for me having kids who are grown now in the movies that we would watch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a, you know,
sure.
during the season, like,
sure.
like the two Home Alone movies.
Sure.
Those are favorites in my household, and The Grinch with Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, I remember as a kid in grade school, you know, the animated stuff like a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh, yeah, and the animated Grinch is still the best. I just watched the new Grinch, and it was cute, but there's nothing like the old Grinch.
Oh, the original narration by Boris Karloff.
Yeah, and the Grinch right. was nasty.
Oh, yeah.
He now was they've nasty. Softened the Grinch a bit.
Well, in the movie with Jim Carrey, he gets a heart.
Yeah.
You know, he sees, well, he was, the way they tell the movie was that he had an unfortunate thing that happened in school as a child, as a little Grinch,
right,
which just turned him against the whole concept
right.
of Christmas. So he ends up on Mount Crumpet and disdaining all the Whos.
Yeah, right, right. Yes, not Who friendly.
Nope. But he learns from the little girl, mm-hmm. from Cindy Lou Who,
mm-hmm.
to be kind and open his heart.
Because she loved Christmas most of all.
It's a funny movie. It's a very funny movie. So there's a lot of different ways that we have celebrated. Now, when you were talking about your mom and mm-hmm. family,
mm-hmm.
I come from a traditional Sicilian background.
Okay.
So
big family.
Christmas Eve, and that's when all the cousins and aunts and uncles, everybody got together at someone's house. And it was because of how Catholicism influenced Christmas Eve. We, the Italians, chose not to, they had meatless Christmas Eves.
Okay.
So it was the fish with the black sauce, and there was
right.
smelts, anchovies, breaded, and
right.
and all of that.
Now, fish with the black sauce, do you mean like squid ink? Was it squid? Because some Italians I know do squid Christmas Eve.
Yes, we had that.
Mm-hmm.
We had
octopus
that.
Or squid.
Yep. Squid, yep. Calamari.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we did all that. We did pizza, but it had no pepperoni or sausage on it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And that was yummy. Then Christmas Day was usually, it was either a turkey like Thanksgiving or this big like crown rib roast.
Mm.
That was, my mouth
yeah,
was
my
watering.
Mom loved that, yes.
And with all kinds of yummy stuff. So, you know, with Italians, Christmas, the holidays are a lot about eating.
Mm.
And prior to that, you know, the whole season. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania where the weather was more conducive to, you know, a Christmas card.
Sure.
You know, and the weather would be colder. There were times we did get snow, you know, in December. And here, wow. So I was, when I was in high school, I was a paper boy. They don't have paper boys anymore. We deliver the newspaper.
Yeah.
Now someone drives around in the car and they throw it in your driveway. So I'm definitely a dinosaur. And so when I would deliver the afternoon paper, so there's no more afternoon paper. It all comes in the morning.
Right.
And by the time, you know, it's and everything is old news.
Sure.
You wait till the afternoon. But of course, that was a small town and local news was in there for, you know, people that wanted to read the local news. And,
sure.
You know, all the local stuff. And on the bottom of the newspaper, once they got past Thanksgiving, they would rotate a different comic strip, and it would be so many Days Until Christmas. And I would always look at that, and whatever, whether it was Blondie or Beetle Bailey or Snuffy Smith and Charlie Brown, you know. So I would always look at on the bottom of the newspaper, the front page of, you know, which, you know. And I would get excited. You can hear it in me. It's like I would always get excited about one more day.
Yeah.
And so there was always this buildup. And the other thing is, because I had to walk my paper route, which was over several blocks, which wasn't bad at all, people would have their decorations up. So I could either have their, you know, the front porch decorated and all that, or you could see in their house where the Christmas tree was and all of that. So that was, those are very fun memories.
Yeah.
You know, the build up to it.
Right. When you'd see the advent calendars, right? And the first day
yes.
would start the countdown to 25.
Right. Right. And I did go to Catholic school. So we had the advent wreath where three of the candles were pink and one was purple. If I got that backwards, I'm sorry, I haven't done that in a long time. But you had the 4 Sundays or the 4 weeks before Christmas, you would light one of the candles, right?
I don't know. I didn't grow up Catholic. Okay. I know that.
I'm trying to remember that.
I just know the advent calendar, every day had a piece of chocolate in it. That's what I knew. You
right.
got a piece of chocolate every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you were counting down to the presents.
Right. Yeah. And we have in our home, we have these calendars that lead up to Christmas, and they have it's a December calendar with a little pouch, and there's a little crocheted or something in there, like a stuffed animal in each one of the pouches.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, that leads up. So I forget, you either put one in or take one, whatever it is. So it's leading up to Christmas. It's fun stuff. It really is. Now, in terms of the concept of Santa Claus, this is where we, you know, as adults have to not grow up but not become childish, but allow ourselves to get back into the manifestation of abundance as we intend it, as it comes from the heart. And so what I mean is, because my wife and I teach a 4-week course on success and how to be abundant. And so what do kids do, you know, weeks prior to Christmas? Well, they write a letter to Santa Claus.
Sure.
And in that letter is their wish list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and most of the time it's written in a polite way, "Dear Santa, I would like to get," and they'll list everything in there. And it's written. It's not typed on a computer. It's written in there. And so once Christmas morning comes, then there they are. They go downstairs, and because they were good, so to speak, all this stuff is under the tree. And it reinforces the concept of writing the letter, which is writing affirmations.
Sure. Praying. It's
and
prayers.
Praying.
It's a vision board.
Right. That's right. It's all the things that as adults we have to sort of pound into our own head again.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can go back to what I call the Santa Claus theory and hope and wish and dream and visualize and write it as an affirmation, we create that expectation that we're going to get that. So what happens? Where does this go wrong? Well, when kids get to a certain age, they learn through parents or mean kids that in a harsh way, there is no Santa Claus.
Right.
Which is, it's tough because it destroys sort of the myth, the dream. And it also puts kids in a moment where they sort of flashback like they've been traumatized. Well, how did all this happen?
Yeah.
And especially when parents would do things like wait till they go to bed on Christmas Eve and put up the tree or do things that, you know, like Santa Claus did all this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that harshness becomes, oh, from this point, you're going to earn everything you're going to get. And it just destroys everything. And so then we take on the belief that's the other end of the spectrum, is that you're going to work hard to get anything you want. And if you don't work hard, then you're not going to make much of yourself. And that's not true either.
No.
Because there's a lot of affirmations out there, like money comes from known and unknown sources, if it's money that a person wants. Mm-hmm. But we can go back to that same form of, let's call it affirmative prayer, whether it's written, said, thought, dreamed, imagined, and go back and open, you know, ourselves up to be able to manifest abundance again. You know, when you think of yourself as a kid and the concept of wishing for whatever you want for Christmas, and whether, you know, kids can still look in toy catalogs and all that. When a child really wants something, they're very passionate about it.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that's the key, because that's not a thought. The passion of wanting something is in the heart.
Yeah.
That's the heart really beats for that. We become activated. You know, we're turned on. We're really ignited. That's what we want. And
like the kid in A Christmas Story, the BB gun he wants.
Right.
I mean, exactly. It's a quest.
Yes.
I mean, that's almost like a knight's quest for the, you know, for the grail. I mean, that kid's on a quest for
exactly.
that BB gun.
Exactly. So when a person puts their mind and their heart to it like that, you know, there's not going to be much that can stop them from getting what they want. And that's the big message that I have for people, you know, as this is, you know, we're looking at this on Christmas Eve, but it doesn't stop here. In fact, if anything, this can propel people to think about this over the next week as they go toward New Year's Eve and setting intentions. You know, it's just because Christmas is here doesn't mean we stop wishing.
Right.
You know, we need to hold in our heart what is near and dear to us. And if it is something of a material basis, well, that's okay. First of all, we're meant as people in physical form, spirit in physical form, we can have it all if we choose to.
Sure.
There's no limitation except the limitation that's put on our belief systems as we come into the world. And of course, we're told there's no Santa Claus.
Right.
There's that letdown. Oh, you know, so it's really important for us to own our abundance, know that even if we've had tough times or been through hardship, or if a person has, for whatever reason, lost a job or they need to change jobs, they can go in and own their power and own their abundance and begin to take charge of their life again with intention.
Yeah.
The word New Year's resolutions for me is just, it's a mental treadmill, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's like, I'm gonna, and then the person doesn't. But when we set intentions, and this is the time of year to set intentions, then we're seeing it as it is now.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do. We have to see it in our mind that we have it. We have to touch it, taste it, feel it in the moment. And like you say, vision boards,
right.
Whatever that
prayers.
Is. Prayers.
Prayers not a dirty word. You're allowed to ask for things.
Exactly. But make sure that when you do pray, it's simply, you're really owning that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people in a weak moment, they go into that sort of the helpless, like Tutor the Turtle and Mr. Wizard, help Mr. Wizard,
yeah.
That cartoon.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you pray, you know what you want. One of my mentors years ago would say, people would say, you know, all my prayers aren't answered. And he would say, all prayers are answered, but sometimes the answer is no.
Mm, yeah, sure. Absolutely. You can ask. It doesn't mean you're going to get.
Well,
just like with Santa Claus.
Right, exactly.
You don't get everything you ask for.
Right.
But if you don't ask, you're not going to get.
That's exactly right. And my mentor, Vinny, he said that the reason, what happens is that even though people say they want something, he says sometimes people ask for the wrong thing but they don't know that's the wrong thing for them.
Sure.
And that's why it doesn't come to them. Because when you look at it, divine right action is taking place all the time, and it's for our greatest and highest good.
Yeah.
And if a person is wishing for a, 500 horsepower car, they may even have the means to buy such a car, but maybe that's not the right thing for them. Maybe their driving style doesn't fit with a car that powerful.
Yes.
So there is, the universe looks out for us all the time. I want to share something that happened recently. And this, the irony of this is, I think I told this story somewhere in the last few weeks, and I think you were with me, Sheena. And
okay.
I talked about that a client that came to me. Yes, I did tell the story, because this is the one where I said I used to take my stepdaughter for ice skating lessons. It was about the hot chocolate.
Okay.
And I gave the guy behind the snack bar a tip. And the next day, a client came in from San Diego and tipped me $15.
Right, yeah.
And so it turned around 15-fold. So I have told that story in the show. So recently, I did a reading for a brand new client, and this was within, the time frame of shortly telling the story, the snack bar story here, and the woman pulls out extra cash, substantial, and gives it to me and gives me a tip. And I said, "You don't have to do that." And she said, "No." She said, she's a hairstylist. And she said, "This is how we make our money. We really appreciate tips."
Mm.
And she says, "I always tip." So
lovely.
It is lovely, because she's in such gratitude about the fact that people give her extra money, which is customary for hairstylists,
sure,
and people in the any part of the beauty industry, that she felt compelled to, because I'm performing a service, as you do, Sheena, of course,
sure,
to tip me. So it was, and I said, yes, my wife was a hairstylist. And I said, "I understand that completely. Thank you so much." So less than a week later, another person comes in, and she's in the dog grooming business.
Okay. So she gets tipped too.
Yep. And guess what she did? She tipped me.
Wow.
And so it's not that long ago that I told that story about, the one tipping the guy with the hot chocolate. And every time I tell that story, it makes my heart warm, because I have no idea what it meant when I gave that guy that extra dollar. He appreciated it. I knew it. It came back to me 15-fold. So I tell the story, and I light up when I tell the story. Now, two clients have tipped me. And I have to tell you, it is few and far between that people tip.
Yeah.
And I
almost never.
I don't expect it. I know when I go anywhere, even if I'm getting takeout in a restaurant, I always tip.
Yeah.
Always, always, always. People deserve that. If people are performing a service, they deserve that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just automatically, I just give from the heart.
It's nice.
Yeah.
You have to.
Thank you. And especially for this time of year, you can be the gifter or you can be Scrooge.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I prefer not to be Scrooge, but year round. I don't know how much I tip. It's like, you just tip.
Yeah.
And it makes people feel good. But the funny thing is, there are people who have demonstrated different levels of appreciation. Some people are thank you, and some people say thank you because it's polite and customary.
Sure. And some people just don't say thank you at all.
Exactly. So, when we open our heart and whatever, as you're listening now, go inside and look at yourself and think about what opens your heart. And be with that feeling for a moment. Be with the feeling of your heart open and feel the energy of when you have received. Feel the energy of when you have given. And just be with those moments in your heart, because it is so special to open your heart and just feel the good, feel the goodness, and remember the good memories that have ignited you, turned you on, or lit you up, just like a great big Christmas display.
Beautiful.
And thank you. Yeah, it's just, it's, as you can tell as you're listening, I love the holidays. No matter how old I get, I will always love the holidays, and I just have fun with it. And as you know, I have kids, and my stepdaughter, who is the eldest, you know, is in a couple months is going to have a baby. So I'll be a step.
Be a grandpa.
Grandpa, yeah.
I don't think anybody cares about step.
It's funny. It's like, so it's fun, and I have a niece and a nephew that are five-ish.
Okay.
And when kids are that age, they really get Christmas on their level.
Oh yeah.
So it's fun. It's fun to see the excitement, and it's not just fun to watch them, but for me, it's like I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I truly remember what that's like, and I wish for people that they feel like the way I do at this time of year, that people could feel like that. I know some people don't choose to feel like that given circumstances, but I wish people could feel what I feel when we get into this time of year. And, you know, I still, you know, I decorate, you know, I help with the inside decorations. I do the outside decorations.
Nice.
I do all that. And
do you do a lot?
This year I didn't do as much given time constraints, but it's still, when people drive past our house, they
stop and look.
They know.
Yeah.
When the kids were smaller, younger.
Yeah.
I did a lot. Now, not to the craziness where I had the lit up reindeer on the roof and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's nice though. Yeah, my craziest I did that.
But I would always, you know, I would go as far up the tree in the front yard as I could go.
Okay.
With the string lights.
Blow molds. I love blow molds.
You like those?
Yeah. Oh, God. I collect blow molds. And the first year that I bought my townhome, I was 23. And so that Christmas, I was 24. And I put out, you know, my nutcrackers and my candy canes and my soldiers and my Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus and all my blow molds. And my neighbor across the way knocked on the door and he said, I'm Jewish and this is kind of offending me.
Wow.
Because, you know, a lot of Jewish folks don't believe in doing any kind of decorations, even for Hanukkah. And so he said, you know, you can probably see these decorations from space. And I said, wow, do you think so? Like, I was so excited. So it kind of took away the love of doing it in my townhome complex. But at my house that I inherited from my mom, oh yeah, as much as you like, you know, bigger, go big or go home.
No, it's fun. Yeah, and it's fun to go into where we moved, you know, a couple of years ago, but in that other neighborhood, and you go up in the hills, there were people that would decorate that were some were Jewish, and you could tell that some were dual households.
Sure.
So instead
great.
Of it being red and green or whatever, it was blue and white. And
fantastic.
And it was great.
Yeah, and just do your thing no matter what you celebrate. And so much of Christmas isn't Christian anyhow anymore. And so much of it was stolen from Yule.
That's right. That's right. A lot of people don't get that. But yeah, it's phenomenal. You know, it's interesting. I got a note from my mom the other day because her birthday, God, time goes by so fast. Her birthday is in the early part of December, and her birthday coincides with the same day that was known for centuries as St. Nicholas Day.
Mm.
But the church years ago, a chunk of years ago, decided to decanonize St. Nicholas, St. Christopher, and one other. St. Christopher, people used to have St. Christopher statues, and they would always be on the dashboard of the car.
Yeah, St. Christopher. Sure, I have a St. Christopher medal I fly with.
Right.
I'm not even a Catholic.
So people believed in, you know,
right.
St. Christopher would protect you.
The patron saint of travel.
Right. And so St. Nicholas, which is attached to the concept of Santa Claus, the church said, no, they're not really saints. I don't know how that works.
Really?
Yep. So anyway, but there was a note from my mom, a text from my mom saying, well, maybe they don't look at it like this, but it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's St. Nicholas Day.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then you get into, as we move forward, there's the Orthodox Christmas, which comes up in January the 7th.
Is it the 6th?
The 7th.
It's the day after Epiphany.
Yes, it
okay.
is. And we used to joke when we lived back east, there was a lot of jokes because there were those who were, they call it Serbian Christmas or Orthodox Christmas. And a lot of times snow would come in January and maybe not in December. And when they would be shopping, because in the men's business back then, they'd say, see, the white one is the right one, meaning
oh, that's
snow
great.
On the ground.
Nice.
You know, so we had a lot of fun with that. And it was fun. See, here I am taking us back down memory lane again. When I was, you know, in my late teens and, you know, into my 20s, working in a men's clothing store, you know, you're really caught up in everybody shopping. And there was that, you know, not the way it is now, but it was people came out to shop and they bought and, you know, you'd gift wrap. And being in a small town, it really had that feel, that Christmassy kind of feel, because all the stores were decorated and the 70s were not as commercial as
sure
as is it has been for some time. And now it's cyber this and Black Friday and, you know, it's
yes, Giving Tuesday, Cyber Monday. It's all geared towards, which is great because it's all helping our economy. So you can't,
of course.
You have to be happy about it in that respect. It's not a bad thing that businesses are trying to make money. I don't have a problem with the commercialism of Christmas. I think it's helping people.
Well, it is. Sometimes, like with people out of town, I'll shop online and then ship. But I like going to brick and mortar.
Yeah, me too.
I love shopping.
Me too.
I like
especially at Christmas.
Yep, and I like when the stores are decorated and all
mm-hmm.
that.
Me too. And the music's blasting.
Right.
Love it.
Yep. I like being out amongst people. I'm in a people business just like you.
Yeah.
And I find people fascinating and enjoying them. You know, it's good. So what else? I've talked a lot. What else would you like to say about Christmas, the holiday season?
Well, this is kind of a strange thing that doesn't always go over well with people. People think of this a little strange, but here we go. You wanted me here, so here we go. I believe in Santa Claus. I believe that the spirit of Santa Claus is a real thing. And in the indigenous spiritualities, right, we believe there was a god of the wind and a god of the rain and a god of the ocean and a goddess of flowers and goddesses of everything. So who's to say that the spirit of Santa Claus, thinking as an indigenous person, isn't the god or goddess of giving? That there isn't actually an entity that is Santa Claus that's in charge of putting people in the holiday spirit every year, or maybe for every holiday.
Well, I won't argue with that.
So I think to dismiss Santa Claus as not real, I think you got to think a little bit about that before you do that. So I'm a 52-year-old woman and I believe in Santa Claus.
Good.
I think as a psychic person, I can feel the energy of Santa Claus, you know, kick in right about the time. As an Irish person, you know, my new year is November 1st, is Samhain, and October 31st going into November 1st. And I can feel the spirit of Santa Claus appear right around then and continue through about the middle of January. So,
well, when we say the words, the spirit of Christmas, and it's funny you brought this up, because before we went on, I was thinking about that. That's the irony. Instead of the spirit as people, you know, happy, that the concept of an entity mm-hmm. as the spirit of Christmas. So I think it's fascinating that you would say that, because you and I didn't discuss that before we went live. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think there is some kind of just as we deify, you know, through mythology, and every culture has their own gods and goddesses and all that. I agree wholeheartedly that there is this, you know, spirit of some kind that but he doesn't pay for the stuff at Best Buy.
But you know, who's to say that he doesn't perform Christmas miracles all the time in the ways that people come through at the last minute and provide money and gifts for families that don't have Christmas.
That's it.
Grinchy parents change their minds at the last minute and bestow children with gifts. I mean, who's to say that Santa isn't like maybe kind of a fairy?
Right. That's why.
Fairy energy. That's why you sprinkle dust on the head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there is something that does shift. And in reiterating what you just said, sure, under the heading of money comes from known and unknown sources. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sometimes things just show up. And and when it comes to, manifesting is a wonderful thing. And it's an art. But it doesn't mean that people have to go out and buy like drunken sailors and then put themselves in debt.
Mm.
It's like what you're talking about is more of a real mystical thing where things show up, you know, out of nowhere. It just works. And when you're talking about Santa Claus as a spirit, you know, the concept of spirituality, again, as I said earlier, divine right action is taking place all the time.
Of course.
For greatest
absolutely.
And highest good.
Yes.
And so, you know, when you think about this, folks, that you're as you're listening, you know, keep hoping, wishing, dreaming, you know, keep asking for what you want.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just like in the concept of there's 12 days of Christmas, maybe what you're asking for doesn't come tonight or tomorrow morning. But it doesn't mean it's not going to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes what you're wishing for is bigger, better, and it takes a little while to get to you.
And Santa brings things all throughout the year.
Yes, absolutely. you know, I'm the kind of person as a grown adult, and I'm older than you, Sheena. I'll look at the on television, the NORAD tracker.
Oh, me too.
See,
I love
Santa
it.
Is
love
in
it.
The world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I love it. I love all of that.
Uh-huh.
I love the television that has just the crackling fire and the Christmas music in the background that you can put on Christmas morning. All of it. I love all of it. They have one now that has it, and then kittens play in the front
of the
fire. Yeah, it's like the fire plus kittens.
That's cool.
Kittens play with like a red and green ball of yarn in the front while the fire crackles and the Christmas music plays.
How sweet.
Yeah. They have, and I love Christmas music. I noticed that's up now. I noticed that I was looking for, I was looking for 100 versions of Christmas Carol to watch the entire month of December. And I typed in Christmas on my on demand, and that's already up now. You can bring that up. The Christmas, the Yule log with the crackling Christmas and the music and.
That
so you can have your
know.
December, you know, anytime you want. You can have it from the beginning of December until, you know, through Christmas until probably through Epiphany.
Yeah, most likely it would go toward that. I know in my iTunes and my phone, I have Christmas music in there. And my kids have asked me, like during, you know, non-holiday season, why don't I take it out? That's because I like it.
Yeah.
It's not that I sit there and play Christmas music all day. But when it comes on, if I like that particular holiday song, I'll let it play.
Sure.
It doesn't matter if it's, you know, April 15th.
Sure.
Or June 23rd.
Sure.
It's like, it's good.
Yep.
You know, this, you know, it's, I'm looking forward to, you know, later tonight and Christmas morning and seeing people and having fun. What are you going to do?
I have a Christmas party I go to every year in Pasadena. Dear friends of mine decorate their whole place and do it up. My friend wears a red suit and he looks amazing. And then I am actually singing at my church.
Wonderful.
For the big Christmas Eve service for the first time. my musical director from my Saturday Night Spiritual service when we did my our service earlier in the month. We sang the Bing Crosby, David Bowie, Little Drummer Boy, Peace on Earth, Earth MASH. And we're doing that for Christmas Eve tonight.
Wonderful. How cool.
Yeah. And then tomorrow it's just going from party to party, friends to friends. I don't have any family, so my friends are my family. And I work my way down to Orange County and see my best friends down there and then work my way back up.
Oh, my goodness. So what, in terms of snacks, cookies, the all this stuff that we don't normally eat the rest of the year, what do you like?
Everything. I mean, God, I don't know everything. Anything. My favorite are the Italian wedding cookies. Mm-hmm. Is that what they're called? The ones that are wrapped in the powdered sugar? My mom used to make them as a crescent cookie at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And when they were still hot and the sugar was stuck to them, those are my favorite. But and anything with peppermint in it, you know, homemade hot chocolate, I love. I had that earlier in the month. My best friend and her son have a Santa Claus business, and they run the Huntington Beach Historical Society. I grew up in Huntington Beach. So they're custodians for the historic building in Huntington, the Newland Center. So they deck it all out for Christmas, and Daryl does Santa, but he's like Ghost of Christmas Present Santa in the robe. And his best friend plays Christmas tunes on the old piano, and Kelly makes homemade hot chocolate and homemade mulled cider, and kids come and meet Santa, and he comes out on the patio. They have the Newland house has a full length, you know, front porch. He comes out on the porch and reads "Twas the Night Before Christmas." And
how sweet.
Yeah. I like stuff that's really old school. I love the Victorian era. So I like my Christmas kind of old school.
Yeah. And I like when neighborhoods have carolers that go around and
I love that too. Yeah.
You know, no, it's fun. It's so much fun. I keep saying that word because it's
beautiful.
It is
the most wonderful time of the year.
As Andy Williams has said.
It is. As you played for us earlier.
Right. We're getting ready to wrap up. It's to everyone out there. From the bottom of my heart, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful holiday season as it continues for the rest of the year and the new year. And happy holidays, no matter what holiday you celebrate, and enjoy yourself. Be safe, please. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to lose any listeners. We want to keep everyone with us.
Yeah, right.
And Sheena, thank you.
Please don't die. We need listeners.
Yes. We don't want the ratings to drop. And we hope tonight that when Santa slides down the chimney, it brings you something awesome. And everybody is happy and joyful and celebratory, and again, being appreciative and grateful for not just what we get, but for everyone that we have in our lives.
Yes,
you know that's huge. People can, you know, they come and go, which is, you know, somber to say on Christmas Eve, but it's like, but you know, we need to take care of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, as we move into the new year, and we've referred to this on in other programs, whether it's mine or Sheena's, it's going to be an interesting year ahead.
Yeah,
and it'd be fascinating to see how it all comes out. But for now, let's celebrate the holidays, and look at another year has just gone by
in a flash,
like Santa's sleigh.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, before we close, now I'm getting my the movie Elf with Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
There is a scene in that movie where they show the apartment, the Christmas tree. All of a sudden, he comes running in, trying to put the star on the top of the tree, and almost he just leaps into the tree, and then the tree falls over. When I saw that in the theater, I laughed out loud so hard, because you just see this still apartment setting. All of a sudden, here comes Buddy the Elf, phew, jumping up into the tree.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it's one of those scenes where you just, you know, once you've seen that, it kind of spoils it, because, okay, you've seen it. But even if, you know, you watch it for the first time, you just go, oh, my God, I can't believe they had him do that. So another funny Christmas memory. Anyway.
I just watched the new Grinch, and There's a great scene where he makes a horn to attract reindeer so he can have a full thing of reindeer to steal from Whoville. And he blows the horn and nothing comes but a tiny goat, and it's one of those goats that screams. Oh. And then later he keeps wandering and wandering, and finally he and Max find this whole reindeer heaven. There's a million reindeer to pick from. And right when he's ready to go get them, the little goat runs over. It's followed him and it screams and it chases all the reindeer away. That alone is worth seeing the new Grinch movie, the Benedict Cumberbatch.
I'll have to see that. I haven't seen that. Anyway, Sheena, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, my friend. Lovely to be here with you.
And it's good to have you here. We will, I'll see you in the new year.
Yes, you will.
A lot with all kinds of stuff that going on.
Yes.
This has been the Christmas Eve version of Mainstream Metaphysics. I hope you've enjoyed. I wish you a Merry Christmas. And we'll see you back here on LA Talk Radio very soon.
Merry Christmas.
Listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.